Amen and amen. Okay, so I want us to press further today in our lessons on the predetermined particulars of your purpose. The predetermined particulars of your purpose. And I know I give this introduction just about almost every Sunday, but there's a reason for it. I don't want to assume that you heard it last week and you remember everything that was said last week. So many times people say, how we keep talking about fulfilling purpose, how can we fulfill our God-given purpose on the earth? You know, sometimes if we're not careful, it becomes a cliche. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, those who are with us online. And we're always blessed to have this audience. And we do not take your fellowshipping with us for granted. There's so many different services you could be in. We think it's a blessing that you are with us. We feel blessed. We also know that you will be blessed because the words, everything that happens in these services are targeted towards the glory of God. And the messages that we minister, we believe they are really God-breathed. We know that the Lord gave us this word. It's not stale manner. We don't go into some place and sermons that we've preached before and dig up stuff so we can come and regurgitate to you. No, we wait on the Lord and he gives us fresh manna every service. And so some of you may seem familiar, but yeah, that's part of the fresh manna. The Lord sometimes wants to remind us of things, and sometimes he brings new things. So we do appreciate your joining us, and we encourage that you continue to do so and invite your friends and people that are close to your heart so that they can be blessed just like you are blessed. Amen. All right, so the different aspects of the fulfillment of our purpose, the predetermined particulars of your purpose on earth. It's just not enough to keep talking about fulfilling purpose. How do we do that? And we have identified these seven major areas that the Lord has given us, where if we pay attention to these seven major areas, we will fulfill our purpose on earth. We will complete the assignment that the Lord has given to us on earth. And so I generally tend to go over these seven areas. It's not just because I'm trying to burn time. I have so much that many times I can't even finish what I have. But it's important that these words, we keep hearing them. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Some of it you may have heard at some point. Some of it you may have known before. But when you hear it again, it stirs something within your spirit. Amen. And then it's easy for us to build brick upon brick. Amen. And then for the Lord to be able to do the things that he wants to do and the things that he has ordained in our lives. So, what are these seven areas? Number one, give your life to Christ and make him the center. Make him the center of your life. Cultivate consistent fellowship with God the Father. Number two, make Jesus your Lord and Master. Give him the preeminence in all areas of your life. Number three, find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. I feel some special grace to minister on that point in this service. Find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. Number four, find God's purpose for your life's vocation and commit to it. We devoted last Sunday's service to studying this particular point right here. Find God's purpose for your life's vocation and commit to it. I encourage you, all of us who are in the marketplace, all of us who are called, you have some career, some vocation, some assignment, some secular obligation. I encourage you to dig into that message, study it out for yourself, hold on to it, walk with it, because there's a lot of power nuggets in that message, and God can use it to radically increase you, radically translate you. You know, sometimes we think, we look at our jobs and our careers almost like, that's, I have to do it. Oh no, that's the seed God gave you. That's your seed bank. And when God promised Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and promised blessing, it didn't rain blessing from heaven. One of the primary areas where he blessed them was through the work of their hands. He gave them seed. And as they were faithful to use that seed that the Lord gave them, the Lord increased them. The Lord promoted them. The Lord established them. So that is such an important area. The more faithful you get in your vocation in life, and the reason I'm maybe kind of pressing into that a little bit before I go into what I have today is because there is a tiny little bit of connection between part of what I ministered last Sunday and what I'm going to minister today. The more you press into the vocation that God has given to you, the easier it is for the Lord to increase you. On earth, right here on earth, that increase is for here. There's no increase from your job that is laid up in eternity. It's increase here. The promises, the prosperity, the promotion that God has for you here. However, it also gives you the opportunity to use some of the fruits out of that to lay up treasures in heaven. Because that's your seed bank. That's where you get your resources from. That's how you live. That's how you take care. That's how you take care of yourself, your family. That's how you you pay your bills. That's how you, and that's how you sow seed. That's how you support the kingdom of God. It's really, really important. So I do encourage you, especially all of us who are in the marketplace, please go back there and listen to that message again. All right. Number five, do your part and pay your vows. This is the fifth way you fulfill your purpose. Do your part and pay your vows. Support the kingdom of God financially in whichever ways and wherever you deem appropriate. This subject right here, this particular point right here, is so deep in my heart. It's so big. It's so huge. And I'm going to discipline myself to give it just one service when I get to it, maybe next week or whenever. But this is one of the most important things that I believe, one of the most important areas of fulfilling purpose that I believe a lot of believers are not aware of. They really just don't understand it. They don't understand a lot of things about it. And I'm trusting God for the grace to make a few things there plain. You know, a part of my prayer almost regularly, and at certain significant points of my life, of my operation, is I tell the Lord, Lord, you know I owe that debt, and I have to pay it. I owe that debt, and I have to pay it. And a lot of times, it's not regarding the debts of life, you know, natural debts. A lot of times, it's debts of the kingdom, or debts of care that is meant for people that the Lord has ordained should receive that payment. It's a debt. The kingdom of God, you owe that. It's a debt to the kingdom of God. And we'll look at it. We'll look at it and look at it closely and look at the word of God. And many people don't realize that. So many believers are saying, Lord, bless me. Lord, and the Lord is saying, pay your debt. They would not even pay the little that the Lord gave them. They wouldn't even pay that debt. But here they are. God, give me increase. And God is saying, if I give you increase, you are not paying the debt on the one I gave you. What are you going to do with the increase I give you? You still will owe. You will continue to owe. You won't pay that debt. So I won't give you increase. I won't give you increase. But when you pay your debt, sometimes we even use this prayer as a point of contact to resources that we want the Lord to release into our lives. Lord, if you release that particular fruit, that particular blessing that we ask you for, we will pay this particular debt. We will pay this debt. It is a transaction between us and the Lord. Nobody knows about it. Certainly, the one that I prayed a few days ago, nobody. In fact, I told Pastor Tino after the fact. I said, Lord, this debt. And then I got on the thing and sent a message and said, I owe you this debt. I'm sending you this debt. The Lord said to send you this debt. So then I said to the Lord, Lord, you know, we don't have it anywhere. I said, but God, I promise you, the next $1,000 you send, we'll pay that debt. The next $1,000 you send, we'll pay that debt. And that night, I got word that he sent us a $1,000 from somewhere that we were not even expecting. That same night, God is my witness. Prayed the prayer in the morning. That same night, exactly $1,000. So this is and many believers just don't understand it, unfortunately. I mean, if you can't even tithe, you can't even, this area I'm ministering, you can't even get into it. If you can't even, I mean, some people can't even tithe regularly, just tithe regularly. I mean, just, which we call last year, I think in our ministry, one of my messages, I called it minimum payment due. It's not a way to get money from you. It's a debt we all owe, all of us. I owe that debt. If God gives me $100, immediately I know I owe that debt. I owe $10 on that money. I owe it. And if I eat it, then I won't get the next 100. It might seem convenient to eat it, and nobody knows. But God knows. And he's the one keeping the score, the account. So he won't give the next 100. It's a debt we owe. If I'm not careful, I'll preach that one today instead of preaching. You know, I'm already going there. I'm feeling the next scripture is already coming into my spirit. Like, go there. And I'm saying, I don't want to go there. Oh, the word of God is so sweet. It's so sweet. I remember saying to our ministers in our ministers' meeting yesterday, you know, you start out, it's just a lot of theory, which if you show fidelity to that theory, to the knowledge of that word that you receive, if you show fidelity to, you believe it, you embrace it, you live it, you preach it, it may take some time, but after a while, it will begin to produce fruit. So it will go from the level of just knowledge, theoretical knowledge, it will become experiential knowledge. And that's where it gets really sweet. It gets really sweet. It's like you're driving, first you're driving on this 35 mile per hour road, man. You're so cranky, you're just like, you know? And then you get to 55 miles per hour. And you start feeling a little good. And then you get to 70. Whew! And all your juices start flowing. And in some parts of the country, they will even let you do 80, which means you can do 90. Just make sure you don't go beyond that 90. So keep it like at like 80. I mean, your hair is blowing in the wind if you have any. I'm praying for hair, more hair. But it's like, man, this is good. It's not like I don't. And of course, you have to stay disciplined. Because the angels who have been assigned to you, they will not protect you beyond that speed limit. You know that, right? Because he will give his angels charge over you as long as you do your part. So you don't drive 100 miles per hour and say, the angels have been given over me. No, you will run into a ditch. So it gets sweeter as you go. As you go, as you keep walking with the Lord, it gets better. Hallelujah. Now, number six. Let's move on quickly here. I'm running out of time. Number six, do your part in preparing for the Lord's soon return. Get ready for Jesus' second coming. Do your part in preparing for the Lord's soon return. Get ready for Jesus' second coming. There's a lot to talk about that. in preparing for the harvest, in reaching out and being a part of that harvest, and then getting ready, like the Bible tells us in some of the epistles. There's a whole lot to talk about in there. And then number 7, make your family and your close natural relationships a reflection of God's family in heaven. This one blesses me a lot. I don't have so much time here. But those of you who are raising families, pay attention. Pay attention. Design that family. Run it like God runs the family in heaven. And if you do, you will receive rewards. You will fulfill purpose in that area. If you don't, you will lose. You will have losses that you shouldn't have. Isaac and Rebekah did not do that. They allowed themselves, their flesh, their own selfish desires, self-centered desires, to get in the way of God's purpose. Each of them split the children. One of them loved one who made him feel good, brought him roast beef. The other one loved the other one who made her feel good. He always sat around and talked to her. They split the children. You know what? It cost them. It cost them. In their dying days, they had tears and pain. Because they did not live, they did not design that family. They did not raise that family according to God's purpose. They raised it according to their own selfish desires. In their older days, one of them showed up and deceived his father. And that left him with tears. And pain, unnecessary pain. So, you can have family, but you may not enjoy the blessings of that family if you don't run it according to God's purpose. That is such a powerful message. That is such a powerful message. You raise your family, raise your children, no favoritism. And say, this one is more special than the other one. This one gives me money. That one doesn't even remember me. That one is special. This, don't do it. Don't do it. It will cost you. Love on them all the same. Like the father who has no preferential treatment. He doesn't single one or two out. Like, yeah, this one is just like me. Thinks like me. Talks like me. Has my personality. No. Truly, naturally, you know, in our natural lives and families, you may have one that looks more like the other, talks more, acts more, you know, personality, but, you know, love them the same. Hallelujah. Man, all of these are just pre-message bonuses I'm giving. You'll have to pay for this stuff. It's not really what I want to minister today, and I know my time is gone. So let's spend a few minutes around what the Lord has for us today. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? So we want to talk about find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. This is so big. Find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. There's so much ignorance in this area in the body of Christ. So much lack of knowledge and lack of revelation and lack of understanding. And in our prayer, I just minister a very simple word, try to keep it short. But I do pray, and I've prayed even before this service, that the Lord will open our eyes and the Lord will help us get wisdom, get understanding from some of the things that he helps us see in his word today. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Find your place of service. Find your place of service and calling in the body of Christ and devote yourself to it. Devote yourself. yourself to it. I want you to go with me first. Let's go read in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and let's read verse 24. This is Paul. He said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. I love it. Let me read it one more time. He said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. With joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. I love it because later on in this scripture, in verse 32, he alludes further to the subject matter of grace. And he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Now, I'll come to grace in a few minutes here. But I want you to zero in and look at that verse 24. He said, none of these things move me. Like, there were certain threats, there were certain things that were coming up that made him, people were suggesting to him, you know, this is not going to be very comfortable. This is not going to be fun. And he said to them, none of these things move me. And I don't count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. Now, listen to this now. He said, I want to finish my course. I want to finish my course. And at this point, when he's saying this, he makes it clear he hasn't finished his course yet. It is obvious. He hasn't finished his course yet. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about that word, course. He hadn't finished his course yet. I want you to notice something really remarkable here. What determined whether Paul was ready to leave the earth was whether he had finished his course. I want you to think about this for a minute. What determined whether Paul was ready to leave the earth was not whether he had retired from his job. I talked to you about retirement and job last week and tried to connect it with purpose. What determined whether Paul was now ready to leave the earth was not whether he had completed his career with JCPenney or Cleveland Clinic or Amazon. I think those were the three organizations I used last week. I don't know why. I just used those three. Somebody say, why did you use those? I just used those three, and I want to stick with them. So if that's not your organization, just put your own organization there. Somebody say, I work with this bank. You did mention my bank. Well, put your own bank there. That's your bank. I'm just using this as examples. What determines whether you are done? Oh, Jesus. What determines whether your race is complete? What determines whether your assignment has been done is if you finish your course. Now, notice though, there came a point in time when Paul declared it boldly. I have finished my course, he said. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 7. Look at it real quick. There came a time when he said it clearly, without any doubt. He said, now I have finished my course. I've run the race. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Look at it. Are you there? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. He said, let's read verse 6 first. He said, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Notice, the time of his departure was directly connected, not with when he finished his secular job, his secular obligation, his vocation. Mm-mm. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Listen, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. See now, it's the same word. It's the same word. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he said, I don't care, none of these things move me. No, but I want to finish my course with joy. With joy. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Then he said in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me. Oh. Oh. This is the one JCPenney can't give us, folks. This is the one Amazon can't give us. Hallelujah. This is the one Cleveland Clinic can't give us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They can help us. They can be our seed bank to help us gather fruits and live good here on this earth. And they can help us gather fruits. I'm missing that body mic. They can help us gather fruits so that we can play our part and support the kingdom of God and prepare for the harvest and all of that. But this is the one that our secular obligations and our vocations can help us do. Listen, he says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. At that day. Don't know about you folks, but I'm looking forward to that day. Woo-hoo! It's exactly the same way you look forward to payday when you work a secular job. You know payday is coming. No matter how tough it gets, you know that your payday is coming. This bill comes, you have this stack of bills staring you in the face, and you just, you're grunting. But you remember, payday is coming. Payday. So you look forward to payday. That's the same way when you finish your course, when you run your race, when you find your place of calling, when you do it, when you get your assignment done, you look forward to payday. There's that day coming when the Lord is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Listen to what he said. He said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Notice, he didn't say, not to me only, but to every other apostle like me. Not to me only, but to every other pastor like me. Not to me only, but to every other evangelist like me. Not to me only, but to every other prophet. No, he didn't say that. He said, not to me only, but to all that love is appearing. Well, let's talk about this for a minute. What is it that makes a believer love is appearing? What is it?
What is it in your moment when you begin to feel close to leaving? What is it that makes you love his appearing? I tell you what it is. What is it that makes you look forward to payday? It's not promised to me only, he said, but it's promised to all them that love his appearing. All them that are laboring. All them that are laboring like I labored. All of them that are fighting the good fight like I fought the good fight. All of them that finished their course like I finished my course. All them that run the race like I ran my race. All of them is a crown of righteousness. It's a crown of righteousness. Go back there to Acts chapter 20. Let's talk a little bit about that word course. He said there, none of these things move me. He says, but neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That word, course, that I might finish my course, is a Greek word, dromos. You don't really care about this because we're not doing Hebrew and Shebrew and Greek. But it helps, just this word really helps to understand what it means. That I might finish my course. The word course is the word, the Greek word, dromos. It means a race. I love this word. Mark this word. Mark this word. It means a career. A career. It means a vocation. It means a journey. It means a path. Let me go over this again. Dromos. He says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. What is this course? It's a race. It's a career. It's a vocation. It's a journey. It's a path. Now, here we go. I'm about to tell you something you may never have heard before, that you may not know. Certainly, as our society is not designed this way. And the way the Christian faith has evolved over the centuries has made way for us to believe entirely different from what is actually written in the Word of God. I'm about to say something to you here that may surprise you, but it is true. It is so in the Word. And it may stir, and I pray that it stirs you to change something drastically in your life. Listen to this. Every believer has two careers in life. Every believer has two careers in life. How many? Two. How many? Two. Every believer has two careers in life. Two vocations. Two major assignments. The first one is your kingdom career, or what Paul described as his course. Every believer was given a kingdom career, a course, a dromos. The second one is a secular career or vocation. I took a lot of time to talk about that last week. I'm going to put something in parenthesis here, not that I'm going to focus on it at all, because it's not important for the purpose of this teaching that we're doing today. This is in parenthesis. For a few people, their kingdom career is the same as their secular career because God called them and assigned them that way. But that is the exception, not the rule. In the Old Testament times, out of the 12 tribes, there was one tribe called the tribe of Levi that the Lord said, your secular career will be the same as your kingdom career. But they were the exception, not the rule. Out of 12 tribes, God picked one like that. And he said, everyone in that tribe, your secular career is the same as your kingdom career. The rest of us have two vocations. Well, part of the reason why this message, I think, is really important is that most believers do not relate with their kingdom career like it is a career. Most people understand what it means to pursue a secular career. We start out early. We are told about it. We are taught about it. We know if we don't want to be poor and if we don't want to be broke, we need to get some good education. And some people listen to that instruction and many don't. And those who do, go. They do well. They go to school. They get trained. They get a good education. They develop a career, pursue a career, and grow in that career. And they move forward in life. And those who don't listen to that instruction from earlier on, who say, it doesn't matter, you know, hey, I can play basketball and become Michael Jordan and be a millionaire. Unfortunately, there are not too many Michael Jordans. There's not a lot of room for a lot of Michael Jordans. But education is an equalizer. Put all of us on the same platform. Regardless of who you are, your background, where you were raised, all of us. Education just levels the playing field. If you can walk, if you can study, if you can do your part, you can have a good life. Have a good career, have a good life. And at the root of everything, no matter what you eventually become, no matter what you eventually do, you must have good education. I don't care. Some say, well, you know, I think I'm one of those that God called to have a kingdom career. I think I'm called to be in the ministry. Yeah, go in the ministry, but get education first. Get some good education. And then in the course of your getting good education, also get additional training that can help you with that calling that God has put upon your life. But get education. Because education is the great equalizer. Now, the reason this message is important today, because I'm not talking about secular career. I talked about that last week. We already talked about that. It has its place, praise God. But do you know many people don't understand that they have a kingdom career? Do you know that most believers don't recognize that they actually have a kingdom vocation? Exactly the same way they should have a secular career, a secular vocation, they should have a kingdom vocation. And your kingdom vocation is what creates your place on this earth. Your kingdom vocation is what creates your place. Not your secular vocation. Your kingdom vocation is what creates your place on this earth. God has an agenda to carve out places of privilege for believers who not only recognize their secular careers and secular vocations, but who also devote themselves to their kingdom assignment. God has a privileged place for these people. This word, dromos, is a course, a race. Your kingdom career is called your ministry. Every believer has a ministry. Every believer. I've said this before, you've heard me say it. There are no unemployed people in the kingdom of God. The ministry, I know, this is why I said to you earlier on, the way the world has evolved and the way Christianity has evolved, especially in the Western world, we acknowledge some people have a ministry because they stand behind the pulpit or they run an organization or they have a title that you can find in the Bible or something. We agree they have a ministry. But we don't think regular believers have a ministry. And the way Christianity has evolved in the Western world, especially, I'm sure in other parts of the world as well, you know, the pew, the people who sit there and they have their times when they come in and they go out, and the people who do the work and the people who really are the ones that have a ministry are those who stand behind the pulpit, and we have those days of the week when they do it, and they do the work of the ministry. A majority of the people just sit and warm the pews. I remember not too long ago, I think it was during the Daniel fast, we were praying, I was praying one of those mornings for our children. And here came a word of revelation to me. The Lord said to me, say to them, you are not called to be pew warmers. God has invested too much in you for you to ever be pew warmers. You are called, he says, and the way he said it, I can't remember the details of it. He says he's coming back. He wants some dividends out of the investments he has made in you. That's exactly what he said. And of course, reach out to the older. I haven't told the younger one yet. I'm letting him get to the point where he can understand that. He can now, but to a place where, you know, but I called the older one. And with Pastor Tino, I said, deliver that word. You are not called to be a pew warmer. Doesn't mean you are going to stand behind the pulpit. But there are investments in you. There is a ministry. Just as you have a secular career, a secular vocation, you have a kingdom career. God has called you. Let's take a couple of minutes here. Now, I want to come back and talk about grace in just a minute here. But let me say a few more things that I have in my notes here. Your secular career or your job will end one day. But your kingdom career will continue until the day the Lord calls you home. The reason we have a school of ministry around here is because we want to help people understand that part of their purpose. Their kingdom career, their ministry. So like Paul, they can run their course with joy and finish their course gloriously so they can obtain the crown of glory reserved for them. Let me tell you something. There are no unemployed people in the kingdom of God. This thing that has been designed for us where people feel good and go into church and just sit on pews and do nothing is not the will of God. It's not the will of God to just go into churches and, you know, and we pastors feel good and talk about how many people come to our congregations and how many people we lead. And that's great. That in itself has a great, there's a blessing to that, because the more people we actually impart the grace of God to, the more people we impart understanding and revelation knowledge to, the more the work of the gospel can be accelerated if if it is so used. But the numbers is just not what it is. Just the fact that you are sitting down and listening to me here today does not mean I get to enlist you in the kingdom of God. But that is my calling. My calling is to enlist you in the kingdom of God. If you are listening to me, wherever you are listening to me from, my calling is to enlist you in the kingdom of God. Not necessarily to have you do what I'm doing today, but to have you find out what God will have you do in his kingdom and then begin to do it. And then begin to do it. If all we have done is encourage you to just come in and warm the pews every week and just tune in and have a feel-good message and share and talk about how, whoo, that's a powerful message, great revelation. But we don't enlist you, we failed. This crown of righteousness Paul talk about is not according to how many people heard us through the internet. It's not according to how many people read our books. It's how many we can truly enlist to become workers in the kingdom of God. That's what makes us successful. And yet our nations are full of people called pastors, called ministers, who do nothing, who cry over everything, who are always running for someone to counsel them over the same thing 100 times, 1,000 times. We delight in shepherding babies because it makes us feel important. It makes us feel good. We feel more secure because we feel more needed. I told Pastor Tino one time, it wasn't long ago. I said, listen, I've pastored now for more than 20 years. And I have been blessed to be able to pastor the same people from earlier on in their spiritual walk to much later in their spiritual walk. It will be a failure for me to still be running after them the way I ran after them 15 years ago. That would be a failure for me. I will not do it. I will not do it. My job is to reproduce myself. So that my job is to work myself out of a job. I told one of our minister friends just a few days ago, this past week, if after we have labored and done our part in the ministry, decades have passed, and we still have to do exactly the same thing that we used to do when we got started, we have failed. We may feel good about it. We may feel like, yeah, we are secure because we are needed. But no, God didn't call anybody to feel needed. He called us to walk. And now, hear me now. There are no lone rangers. Like some people say, yeah, I walk in the body of Christ. No, look at my body. This analogy the Lord helped me with. When I talk about my hand, I'm talking about my body. But my body is not in isolation. When I talk about my body, I'm referring to a specific part of me. If I say, oh, my body aches, someone say, what part? What part? And I have to say, oh, my leg. Okay, what part of the leg? My toe. So the way the Lord designed his body is a localized body. You cannot say, oh, I just function here in the body of Christ. But you are not plugged in anywhere. You are not accountable to anyone. Nobody sees what you are doing. Nobody knows what. And nobody can tell you what to do. Nobody can assign you to do anything. And there's so many people like that in the body of Christ today. This word dromos, course, talks about a race. And it talks about our place in the race. You have a ministry. Somebody say that with me today. I have a ministry. Say with me, I have a ministry. God has called you to do something in the body of Christ. God has raised you up to do something in the kingdom of God. You are not a pew warmer. People say, well, you know, the pandemic, you know, when in the time of the pandemic, there's not much, you know, we can do with the things of God. Really? I mean, every secular organization found a way to adapt and to keep working during the pandemic. Governments found ways to adapt and to keep operating during the pandemic. Why not the kingdom of God? Why not the kingdom of God? You are called. You have a ministry. Let's take a few minutes here. I see my time is almost gone. Let's talk a little bit about grace. The evidence of your calling is grace. The evidence of the assignment that God gave every believer in the kingdom of God is grace. The only way you can say you are not called in the body of Christ to serve, to do anything, to work, to labor, is if you lack the grace of God in your life. How much time do I have? Not much. How can I get through all of this? I don't think I can. I don't think I can. So I think I'm going to stop and come back and finish this next week. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to give just one service to this. Come back and finish this next week. Paul said, none of these things move me. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He says, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry. Glory to God. The ministry which I have received. The ministry which I have received. Every believer has received the ministry. Every believer. There's joy in knowing the Lord. There's joy in walking with the Lord. There's joy in serving the Lord. I know there are a lot of people who think it's burdensome serving God. It's difficult serving God. No, it's not. It's not. There's a joy in serving God. And whatever it is you've been called to do, God gave you grace to do it. God made his grace available to do it. Now, look at what Paul said. He said, he called me, he said, so that I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Many times we think, well, yeah, some people are called. And we see them behind the pulpit. We see them, they have a big, you know, they have. And now, you know, in the days of pandemic, everybody has a program on social media now. I've noticed ministries have sprung up all over social media. Everybody has some sort of a speaking ministry. But the truth of the matter is, that is part of the error. That is part of the lie that we have bought into. Everybody believes that unless you actually have a microphone and unless you have a media to be able to sit down somewhere and speak to people and preach the word and teach the word, you don't have a ministry. People think you are not pursuing your ministry. It is a lie. It is a lie. To believe that unless we are standing behind the pulpit, we don't have a ministry. It is a lie. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me. Time isn't good. Time isn't helpful here. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Do you know there are names that you don't know about? If I mention those names to you right now, you have read it, you just didn't pay attention to it. You do know Paul, you know Peter, you know Jesus, you know Barnabas, you know names like this. But if I mention a name to you, like a name called Tychicus, you say, what is that? I said Tychicus. Is that in the Bible? Mm-hmm. Paul could not have done his ministry without Tychicus. Paul could not have fulfilled his assignment without Tychicus. Tychicus wrote some of the letters Paul wrote. Some of the sermons, he wrote them. A lot of the praying, he did it. A lot of the visitation, he did it. Tychicus. Tychicus. Indispensable. I call them heroes, unsung heroes in the kingdom of God. We'll come back to it next week. We'll look at these kingdom addicts. People addicted to the ministry. You think the word addict sounds negative to you, but it's not negative. It's not always negative. Some part of it is negative. Addicted to substance, substance abuse and all of that. Yeah, but Paul actually talked about some people addicted to the kingdom of God. They were addicted to their cause. They were addicted to their calling. They were addicted to their ministry. The evidence that you have a ministry is grace. Oh, say with me, I have a ministry. Say, I'm called to serve in the kingdom of God. I'm called to run a race. I'm called to have a kingdom vocation. I'm called to have a kingdom career. And I must finish my course. I must run my race. And I must finish my course. And I must complete my assignment in the kingdom of God. Hey! You cannot keep prioritizing your secular obligation, your secular vocation. Some people even leave their callings and say, you know, I just need 5 years to pursue this degree. Are you kidding me? So what happens if you don't make it past even to that 5 years? What happens? People abandon the calling of God upon their lives in order to fulfill something they consider is important. The calling of God upon your life and on my life, that is what creates room for us on this earth. That is what creates esteem for us on this earth. That is what creates an opening for us on this earth. We are called to be here. We are called to carry the kingdom of God. And whatever that may be, it may not be something big like everybody recognizes, a pastor, a preacher standing behind the pulpit. It might just be to pray. It might just be a ministry of prayer that nobody ever talks about. People who commit themselves, who devote themselves to the ministry of prayer, to the ministry of prayer. Hey, help me, Jesus. It may just be hospitality. It may just be visitation. It may just be, like Barnabas had, encouragement. People who devote themselves to calling people, not to talk stories about pandemic and stories about vaccine and stories about this one, that person, and stories about the government and this. What? No. Hey, I just wanted to check in with you. How are you doing? Are you doing well? Well, yeah, God is good. Okay. Can we pray? Is there anything I can pray with you? Yeah, you know, I'm struggling a little bit. Oh, you know, the word of God says, you strengthen them. And before you know it, someone who was down, who was not even just even excited about anything in life, suddenly they have a new pep in their step because you encouraged them in the Lord. And nobody knew it. Nobody called you an apostle because of it. But in heaven, you laid up rewards. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I have a ministry. I have a ministry. There's grace on your life. Let's close. Let's pick it up from here next week. The grace of God on your life is the evidence that you have a ministry. You have a ministry. Let's close out with that scripture in 1 Corinthians 16:16. Let's close out there. Those who are addicted to the kingdom of God. Really, should we close out there? No, let's close out in Colossians chapter 4. Let's close out in Colossians chapter 4. Tychicus. Let's close out there. Colossians chapter 4. I'm giving you the scripture so you can check them. I gave you 1 Corinthians 16:16. You can check it out. Addicted to the kingdom. No, let's close out in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Tychicus. Actually, you know what? No. Let's close out in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Archippus. Have you ever heard the name Archippus? I said, have you ever heard the name Archippus? Actually, you know what? Let's close out in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 15. Have you ever heard of the name Nympha? Nympha? Have you ever heard the name Nympha? She's a woman. There was a church in her house. She held a church. That's all that was reported in her about her. That a group of believers met in her home every week. Nympha. In fact, Bible scholars can't agree whether it was a man or a woman. It's later translations and later scholars who said, you know what? Nympha is the name of a woman. The earlier translations, like in King James, they called her a man. But she's actually a woman. Paul said, greet her, the brothers and sisters, and greet her and the church in her house. Nympha. You may not, it's not popular. You may not, if you are not hearing me talk about Nympha today, you may not hear it anywhere. Let's close out. We used to have a Phoebe in our family. Have you heard the name Phoebe? I'm sure you have. That's more popular. We used to have a Phoebe. Phoebe was the one in Romans 16. I think it's 16 from verse 1 or 15 from verse 1. One of those two. 1 and 2. With our sister Phoebe. We were blessed to have a Phoebe when we were young in the ministry, young in our lives and in our marriage, had our daughter Christine, and the Lord sent us a Phoebe. Phoebe just took everything, every care off of our hands completely so we could focus and do the work. Everywhere they saw Christine on the street, they thought Christine was Phoebe's daughter. You will never be able to quantify the work Phoebe did in our lives. Phoebe made our ministry easy. The things God called us to do, Phoebe made it possible. Because she took off the burden off our shoulders as a calling. That I may run, finish my course with joy. To testify of the grace of God. I pray for you for an awakening in your spirit. An awakening to the calling of God upon your life. I pray for you to be released from the lie that you may have bought into that seeks to portray that the only people who have a calling in the kingdom of God are those who stand behind the pulpit, those who have a megaphone, or those who have a big title. But that's a lie. You are called. You have a ministry. You have a dromos, a course, a career, a kingdom career. That kingdom career right now, as you and I speak, is determining your eternal reward. Your kingdom career is. And my prayer for you is that there will be a fresh awakening in your spirit. That you will understand and find your place of calling in the kingdom of God. No matter what your secular vocation is, no matter what you do as your job, but that you will find your calling in the kingdom of God, your ministry, your place of service, and that you will begin to devote yourself to it. I'm not sure that I'll come back to this. I really want to. I've got too much, a lot of notes to share, but I don't know that I will. I might just move on. I'm not sure. We'll see what the Lord leads me to do. But regardless, I pray that you devote yourself, that you commit yourself to your calling. You may be one of the Tychicuses. You may be one of the Archipuses. You may be one of the Epaphrases. You might be one of the Phoebes. You might be one of the Typhomas. You might be one of the so many unsung heroes that we hear nothing about. But who actually made it happen? Who made the work happen? And I pray that as you find your place of productivity in the kingdom of God, you will shine, that you will shine, that the blessing of God will rest mightily upon your life and your family. Would you stand with me? Let's close out this service today. Father, we honor you. We bless you, Lord. We lift you up and adore you. We glorify your holy name. Thank you for the grace that you have made available to us today. So much grace in this service. So much grace through your word. Grace to open the eyes of your people. Lord, where we've fallen into a slumber, grace to wake us up. Grace to help us get understanding. Grace to help us know part of our purpose on earth is finding our place of calling, our ministry, our place of service. Grace, Father, to help us appropriate your calling upon our lives, to help us understand, oh God, the body of Christ functions as a full body, and some are prominent, some parts are prominent, some parts are not that prominent, but every single part makes the body function. Grace to help us realize we are not insignificant, regardless of what our callings might be, the areas of our gifting and graces might be. We're not insignificant. No. We are significant. We are the ones God is counting on to make his body function right. Grace to help us understand. That running our course, finishing our course, is what qualifies us for your eternal reward. Oh, we thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you, Father. I sense the Spirit of God and deliverance, a release, a spirit of release. Your people are just suddenly coming to life in their callings, coming to life in their ministries. There are people called to write things and to bless the world, and people called to sing things and bless the world, and people called just to even not use any of those artistic gifts, but sometimes just to be there, just to be there. So somebody is there. Like Paul said, when he came to a season of his life, everybody, he said, deserted him. He said, but one person stood by him and refreshed his soul. That person fulfilled the work of God, the calling of God on their lives. Would you devote yourself today, wherever you are hearing me, under the sound of my voice today, would you commit yourself to your own calling? It's not only pastor who is called. It's not only apostle who is called. It's not only prophet who is called. It's not only preacher, teacher. It's not only those that are called. It's not only the evangelist who is called. You are called too. You are not a pew warmer. You are called. Yes, you have a secular career, a secular vocation, a job, education, something that you pursue. But you also have a kingdom calling. You also have a kingdom career. Kingdom vocation. I pray that you might pursue that career, that you might finish your course with joy, so that that crown of righteousness that has been laid up for you might be yours eternally. Father, we honor you and we thank you so much for your grace that you've made available to us. We bless and we magnify your name, Father, for your word that has gone forth. Thank you, Father, for the lives of the people that have been blessed. Thank you, Father God, for the supernatural awakening that you have given to us through this service. Lord, we thank you because we know our lives will never be the same again. We give you all the glory and the praise. We know that the kingdom of God will be better served because of us. The kingdom of God will be better served because of your word today. We know, Father God, this world will be a better place because we found our place of calling in the ministry, in the calling, in the kingdom of God. We know, God, our communities will be better served. The body of Christ will be better served because we found our place of calling in the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Father God, because you continually replenish your grace over our lives to help us not just to pursue these assignments, but to finish our course. We give you the glory and the praise. Receive it to yourself, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.